all this whole year, you've heard a lot of messages, and the inner lining of the messages throughout different ministers and different speakers that we've had, even some speakers that didn't know what our theme was for the year, have come in and spoke on the subject of expectation. And I really believe that we are in a time. We are in a time where God wants us to expect, man. That he's trying to develop our expectation. And the reason for that is because that's the epitome of faith. Faith requires expectation. If there is no expectation, then there is no faith. Because faith says yes when it doesn't look like it. Faith says something's going to happen when you don't see nothing happening. We sing that song. We sing that one song, the one that says, you know what, even when I don't see you working, you know, that's a declaration. That even when I don't see you working, I know you're up to something, God. You're doing something. You're working. You're always working. There's something about faith that tells God. That's why the Bible says that, you know, it's impossible to please God without faith. And that's why when Jesus was thrilled at the faith. If you ever read, if you read the Gospels and you see the times where people were healed, and he says, because of your faith, you've been healed. It thrilled his soul. It did something in him to see people's faith. So if that's the prescription for thrilling God's heart, then why would we not be a little more expecting and instead of doubting? Because we could doubt. I mean, we've all doubted. There's been times where I've doubted. And doubt, you know, doubt is like a killer, man. Doubt will kill you more than words, quicker than anything. And you just got to stand in faith. How many have been healed of something? Something. Okay, so how many have been delivered of something? Well, you know what? There was expectation in your heart. And that expectation turned into reality. And when reality, you looked back and said, you know what? I was believing for that and God did that. Some of you had to sow a financial seed. Some of you had to spend time fasting. Other times you prayed for months and years. And other times you just agreed with people. And look what happened just with a little bit of faith. Just a little bit of faith. Amen? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8, and we're just going to read a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 8, and then I'll let you be seated. Matthew 8, 23. And I'm going to start reading. You catch up with me, okay? They'll put it on the screens. Matthew chapter 8, and verse 23, it reads like this. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And then the disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. Let me paraphrase that. Lord, please, we're about to die. Do something. Now, you know, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but the pastor who wrote the Message Bible, you know, the Peters, he passed away this week. Passed away. He pastored his church for 30 years, and he was the author. And you know, it's a very loose version, but he just wanted to read something for people that just can't get into the these and the thous of the regular King James. And he wanted to read something so people could like get thrilled about the Bible, you know. And even though we know it's a looser version and it's not exactly, but it still breaks it down pretty good. And sometimes when you hear paraphrasing like that, it's good to hear so you can understand. And then you read it in different versions, and you get down to the original words, and you find out that, you know, what God was trying to say. And he was trying to say, these disciples were saying, we're going to die if you don't do something, Lord. I mean, they were in crisis mode, everybody. Then verse 26 says, but he said to them, why are you fearful? Or he might have said, why are you worried? And look who's with you. He didn't say that. Because Jesus never put anything on like he was prideful. But he's like, why are you worried, man? He says, oh, you of little faith. Can you imagine being in the middle of a crisis and you're like, we're going to die. We're going to drown here. What's up here? And Jesus says, man, what's wrong? He rebukes you. Like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, you got the King of Kings. You got the creator of this water in the boat with you and you're worried? He says, oh, you have little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your miraculous power, your anointing. We thank you for the spirit of the Lord, my God, I pray you move by your Spirit. You minister to us tonight. Speak to us. Speak through me, my God, and help us to be a people who are worry-free. God, let us be a people who develop our faith and develop our expectation, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, think about the disciples for a minute. Let me do a little teaching before I preach, all right? Think about the disciples. They're full of fear, full of worry. Fear turned into worry. The first sign of the water, think about it. I don't know if some of you have been on boats before, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never been in a boat, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you're in a boat and the water gets kind of crazy, you know, you can get a little fearful, but fear turns into total worry. And they begin to get worried, and then it becomes a total lack of faith. Maybe now, I'm not going to say a total lack of faith, because he says, oh, you of little faith. He doesn't say, oh, you have no faith. What's wrong with you guys? He says, oh, you have little faith, man. You have such little faith. You have such a pioco mentality. Small-minded. Your mind can't even conceive who's with you in the boat. So then he calms the winds, and it just stops. And they're like, wow, they're wild. See, they would need this group of men were the men that God was going to use to birth the church and to carry it on to the ages, to where we're at now. And there was going to be many times for the church to go through many seasons where it would be down and then up and down and persecuted and down and persecuted and down. And he knew that these men would have to have great faith in order to carry the ministry on to the end of the time, to where he would return. They would need great faith to lead the ministry. Jesus, what he was doing, and I've entitled this message, Developing Your Expectation. He was developing their expectation in that boat. Everything he did was about developing their expectation so that when he was gone, every time they came into a situation, they would walk immediately. They would jump right into the spirit of expectation, and their faith would be fueled by it. See, the word Jesus uses here, the original word for little faith is the Greek word that it's pronounced oligopistos. Pistos meaning faith, and oligo meaning small. It describes a faith that lacks confidence and trust just a little bit, but not enough. And Jesus uses this word and several times in the Gospels. He used them several times to kind of like describe the situations that he's in. It's kind of like a tender correction, like a tender. It wasn't like, what's wrong with you guys? And he didn't yell at them and tell them off. He just told them, man, you have little faith, man. What's wrong with you guys? Like real tender, like a tender correction. And another way to term it would be, you have such underdeveloped faith. Like by now you've already seen the dead raised. By now you've already seen the blind see. You've already seen people be healed. You've seen so many things already, and still yet your faith is still undeveloped. See, our faith should cause us to live in expectation. We should be cultivating our faith and our expectation on a daily basis. But if you're not thinking about others and the mission of God and the cause of Christ, and you're not passionate for what God wants to do, then let me tell you what happens with that is you're not cultivating anything. You're not building anything. You're not developing any kind of faith muscles. You have to run in order or work out or treadmill or do something to develop your muscles in your legs and stuff like that. Lift a little weight to develop those. It takes a little resistance. And some of those things you go through cause you to develop your faith. It causes you to develop your expectation. So there's nothing like a good old-fashioned trial to get your worry up. There's nothing like when the bank says you have zero to cause you to get worried. There's nothing like worry, like those kind of things, the trials of your life that get you start thinking weird, like what's going to happen, and I know it's going to, I knew it, and it's not going to work out, and right away you start worrying about everything. You become a worry wart, they say. See, worry is the opposite of faith. Did you know that the number one reason why people give up is because they look ahead and they say, there's no way I'm going to make it there. There's no way I'm going to get to that. Instead, they ought to be turning around and looking and say, look at how far I've come. Man, I'm so far from where I started. But most people don't look like that. It's all about perspective. It's all about the way you see things. If you see things from a perspective of saying, man, that's, this distance is too long for me to attain. I'll never get there. Or you can say, you know what? God, I've come a long way. God, I still need a lot of work. My wife knows that. Your boss knows that. You need to know that. They're trying to get you that promotion, but they can't get you that promotion because you're still coming in late. You're still calling in too much. But the moment you start coming in early and you don't use any sick days, all of a sudden they look around, who can we promote? It's evident. Who else? See, one of the biggest enemies of growth and growing and moving forward is worry. What is worry? You know what worry really is? That's such a, worry is not this thing that's, oh my God, it's evil, it's wicked. No, you know what it is? You know what worry is? Worry is misplaced faith. It's like you put your faith on the shelf and you forgot it was there. And that crisis comes up and, oh my God, all you have to do is go grab the faith and say, oh, hey, God can handle this. And I don't know what to do, but I'll call my pastor. You know what I'll do? I'm going to call my life group leader. You know, I'm going to talk to my director. I got this target letter. Ooh, come on, somebody. Got that target letter from the DA. What do? You can't call Ghostbusters. You better call on Jesus, right? And you call on Jesus, but then you got to go to your director and say, hey, listen, I got this in the mail, and I don't even remember doing that. You know what your director is going to say? Oop, you're in trouble, buddy. You should go on the run. He ain't going to say that. You know what they're going to say? Your director is going to say, okay, calm down. Calm down. Shaking. You know, it's going to be a habitual crime if I go. Just settle down, settle down. Let's pray first of all. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we're going to do, let's go talk to somebody. And let's get your court dates like that. And let's show up to court. I'll get you a letter. I'll show up myself. We'll go over there. We're going to talk to the judge. And you get in that courtroom, man. Some of you have been in that courtroom. You know what I'm talking about? You get in that courtroom and you're standing there and say, the public defender that you met just 2 minutes before you got out of in the court. You meet them like that, and you give them a letter. I've done this hundreds of times. Here's a letter. Give it to the judge. Here's one for the DA. And you give it to them like that, and before you know it, they're standing right there and says, okay, for the plaintiff and for this and that, you know, all the whole court stuff, right? And he's there. He goes, okay, so I'm representing Mr. Sanchez right here, and I have a letter in my hand. You have one right there too, judge, like if they had it all week or something like that. They just got it 2 minutes before, and then he's reading the letter as they speak for the first time. He goes, I have somebody here. He goes, this guy right here is facing this much. You know, he's been on drugs most of his life, blah, blah, blah. And there's somebody here from Victory Outreach that wants to say something. So we step up there. And this guy's facing, you know, 7, 8 years, maybe 8 years for the habitual at least. And we're up there, and he's trembling, and she's trembling. And we say, Your Honor, my name is Danny Sanchez. I'm the pastor of Victory Outreach. Or my name is Joe Williams, the great Joe Williams. Amen. And you've heard of me. Amen. Because he is. He's iconic in the jails. I'm telling you, he's iconic. When it comes to courts, every judge knows Joe Williams' name. Every judge. Because if they don't listen to him, he'll go find them. And he sneaks into their chambers. Hi, I'm Pastor Joe. Are you Pastor Danny or Pastor Joe? Whatever you want. Whatever I need to be. And so he goes, and we say, my name is Joe Williams. I'm a minister there at Victory Outreach, and I'm the court ministry. And we have a letter there, and I want you to know that this gentleman has had a lot of problems, but we'd like to take him into our victory home. Savannah, we'd like to take her into our victory home in the name of Jesus. Excited, all happy about, you know. And so then the judge looks at it. Counsel come forward. They talk back and forth, and they're back and forth with each other, and they come back and goes, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then they call out the name and says, I'm going to let you go with Victory Outreach to the Victory Home. But you better not leave there, because if you do, you're going to go to prison for 8 years. And this is what the family often does. You know what the guy does? Looks at us like, I can't even count how many times that's happened. I'm talking spur of the moment. Usually we plan for it. What am I saying? What am I saying? You know what I'm saying? I am saying that faith is bigger than the way things look. When I go and do something like that, I don't go in there saying, I don't do that. I don't wear a lucky clover. God, I hope some of you don't have lucky clovers on you tonight. You probably had one last night, huh? Don't look at me like you didn't. 1.6 billion, you know. But think about it. They was like, you know, they walk in there all, you know. We don't walk in like that. Like, just by the maybe. When we walk into that courtroom, we walk in there with confidence. We stand there, suit and tie, and we look in and say, Your Honor, I want you to know something right here. Like, I was like, just like this young man, and my life changed. And if you'll let him come to the Victory Home for 1 year, I guarantee you, if he finishes the whole year, his life will never be the same. And we go in there expecting for her or him to come out to that home with us. And when I go to the hospital and somebody says they're dying, they got a bullet in their head, I don't go in there and say, no, that's right. That's last. That's the last thing. The first right that I do is I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, take him out of that coma. Heal that liver. Heal that kidney. Jesus. We don't go in there saying, ooh. See, worry is actually a lack of confidence in God's ability to meet your need. That's all it is. So what do you got to get? If it's a lack of confidence, what do you need? You need a little confidence, man, in who God is. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 2, and the second letter to Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 4 and 5 says, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do well, that you do and will do the things we command you. Paul was saying, I have confidence in God that even though you don't think you can do it, you can do it. You will do it. And then I love what he says. He seals it by saying, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patience of Christ. So just because you have faith and you're part of the developmental stage means that you're going to have a little patience and you're going to have love in your heart and you have to understand some. It's not just like wave a wand and everything goes. You have to develop that expectation. Your faith is developed. It's a grind. The original word for confidence here is the word patho, which means to be convinced and to have an inward certainty inside of your heart and an inward trust that says, hey, I'm gonna be able to do this because God said I could do it. I'm gonna be able to go ahead and fulfill this because God's with me. But when you worry, what you're really saying is I'm not completely convinced that God's gonna take care of it, that God's gonna take care of me. When you're going through trials, you absolutely have to find a way to get through it. You have to muster up every bit of faith you have to get through it. Because it's not just you that's depending on what happens in the future. It's your family. It's those around you. The co-workers that you've been preaching to all this last couple of years. Your spouse, your kids, your grandkids. Everybody around you. It really touches their lives when you get through the trial. That's why you need to develop your expectation. There's a tremendous process. And when they make steel, and somebody once said that the hottest steel, the hottest fire makes the hardest steel. What that really means is that the hotter that fire and the more pressure on that steel, it makes it stronger and more lasting. When they make bridges, it has to be good steel. It can't be brittle steel. It's got to hold up for 40 or 50 years. Listen, our lives can't be brittle. We get saved and maybe go through the home or maybe go through a couple of months of serving the Lord or a year or two or 5 years and then all of a sudden get brittle and fall apart. Listen, you're in this for the long haul. And if you don't develop your expectation, then every time you come into a wall, you're going to not know what to do. Listen, go around the wall, jump over the wall, or speak to the wall and let it be divided. But you've got to walk in expectation. Remember that the only people that don't have trials are at Mount Calvary, Sunset Memorial. They ain't got no problems. They're dead already. But you and I are going to have trials and problems. It's part of life. Trials, and you know what's crazy is that it seems like God makes tailor-made trials, like just to fit you. Like he knows, you know, he knows your name. There's a song that I think it's Israel. God knows your name. He knows what trial you need too. And he fits it right there for you. It's like a little glove that fits perfect. Oh, wow, how nice this feels. Ooh. And you know God knows. See, what has to happen is that people trip. When you start losing things and things start falling off of you and all of a sudden you get, don't trip when that happens, man. Don't trip when you feel like you're losing everything. Don't trip on that. You got to stand your ground. I mean, you'd already know what's happening to these trees out here. They're trying to hold on to their leaves right now. So bad, but they're already not green. They're brown. They're orange. They're turning brown. In a few, just 3 weeks, they're going to be off. And the tree's going to be no leaves on it at all. Like my apricot tree in the back is holding on. It's green, green. I can't believe it's still green. But then the other apricot tree, the smaller one like that, is already given into the ghost already. He's already got little, he's already orange, and some are falling off already. And, you know, poor little guy, poor little tree. But in order for that guy to become like that one, he's got to lose his leaves. It's okay to lose your leaves. There's a season for losing your leaves. What happens to those trees? All winter long, they stand tall and they stand strong. They weather the cold. They weather the weather. They weather everything. And oh, sometime about March or something like that, these little small little buds on the limbs, they start opening up. And by April, all of a sudden, they bloom out. And within just a month or so, the whole tree is full of leaves, nice and green. Why? That's a season. Listen, God made those things. That's the way He does things. That's the way, the order of things and seasons. And when you're in a season of your life where things are falling off, don't trip out. Let them fall off and stand strong. You stand right there because that's the developmental stage of your season. That's the time where you're developing your expectation. I expect in March for those little buds to start growing. I expect in April for the leaves to bloom. By July, I'll shade the whole area. Huh? Faith helps you overcome worry. I mean, I don't got time to get into it, so I'm not going to read it. But in Genesis chapter 17, we see the promise given to Abraham. He's already, earlier on, and in chapter 15, he's given this promise. But now he's like in his 90s. And here he is, just got one more good one. He's 99 years old, the Bible says in verse 1. And he's still saying, I will make a covenant between me and you. You're going to multiply. He's been waiting for years. And he keeps on reminding them. And the Bible says Abram fell on his face and talked with them, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. I'm with you on this. No longer, he says, I'm going to change your name now. You've proven to me that every season those leaves have fallen off. And you've just stood believing the promise. You're not Abram no more. Now your name is Abraham. See, I'm going to make you fruitful. He says, I'm going to establish my covenant with you. And then it's not long after that he had his first son. That was a whole different story because he had to have another one. But he trusted God. He didn't worry. His wife worried a little bit, but then she got it. And God changed her name too. From sorry to Sarah. Sorry, Sarah. He didn't worry because he was getting old. She said, come on, I have a baby. Have you seen my wrinkles? Have you seen me? He trusted the promise. Do you trust the promise? Because part of developing your expectation is just believing the promise of God, holding on to it. Three things that will help you trust. If you come to the keyboard. Three things that will help you trust in faith. First of all, hear the word. Don't let the words of people distract you. Don't let the words of circumstances distract and even confuse you. Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Listen to this again. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So if your faith comes by hearing, then the only way you can hear is the Word of God has to be what you hear. You're going to catch this on the way home. Faith comes by hearing. If you're not hearing the Word of God, that's why it's so important to be in church. That's why it's so important to read your Bible every day. Now, every day, well, I don't got time. You got time for a lot of things. If you can Netflix binge, you got time for anything. Come on, somebody. If you Amazon Prime, come on, somebody. If you, come on. You can have time for everything you want to do. If you really want to do it, you'll find time to do it. Some of you got hobbies. You find how to do it. You got to find time to be at church. Stay consistent in church. Have your Bible in hand, notepad, whatever, always ready to learn. Oligopistos. Poetho. Those words that should ring in your ear. I need to keep confidence all my life. I need to have big faith, not little faith. I don't want oligopistos. I want big faith. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. I just want bigger faith. Second thing is not only do you need to hear the Word of God, but second thing, you need to seek with the Lord with a heart of faith. See, when you pray, you have to pray expecting. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, for my son. I pray for my daughter, God. Lord, I pray that you heal him. I pray, God, that you touch him. I pray that you save him. And you don't pray saying, Lord, I don't know if you can't even save them. You know, they're so messed up. But if you can, I guess I'm going to just say a prayer for them. No, you have to have this tenacity. You have to have this. You have to be like just a warrior. And just say, God, I expect it. Because you said in your word that if I was saved, my whole household would be saved. I don't say it disrespectfully. I say it with fervor. I say it with faith. I say it with excitement. I say it like it already is. You know, when my wife was a young girl there in the church with the kids, and she'd go to church and they'd ask her, where's your husband at, Edmana? They'd always ask her that. Where's your husband? They knew her husband is at. Her husband was a dope fiend, a drug addict, a drug dealer. He was out there all messed up. Where's your husband at? Don't ask that question. You never ask that question to a young girl that has a bunch of kids in the church. You know, you find out what's going on and you tell them, I'm in agreement with you. We're going to believe. Come on, pray with you. And she's, you know what she tell him? He's here by faith. One day he'll be right here by faith. What she should have done is she's going to be here by faith preaching to you. I really probably would have ran. I was running already. Seek the Lord with a heart of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. You got to believe God is who he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Think about it. If you're worried, seek God. Why are you seeking? You know, you trust in a psychologist? You trust in psychiatric help before you do in God? The doctors are great, man. Counseling is great. But if you can't trust in God, they have problems too. You don't even know what that psychiatrist might be going through. They might have a secret vice that you don't even know about. They might not. They might be great. I'm going to tell you something right now. You trust God. Seek God first before anything. Even before you come and talk to me as your pastor or one of the ministers, one of the leaders, you get a hold of God. God, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go talk with the Bible. But first, I'm going to call on you. And you'd be surprised how many times God will fix it before you get to come. I've seen it. People come to me all the time. You know, Pastor, I was going to meet with you. But guess what happened? Check this out. We were praying. My wife were praying, and we got this phone call, and man, all this happened. Wow, before I could even call you. That's living with expectation. That's developing your expectation, your faith muscles. Thirdly and lastly, is that not only do we need to hear the word and seek the Lord with a heart of faith, but we need to speak the word. You know, whatever happened to the days where people speak the word? Speak God's word. Over your situation. Let your heart and your mouth agree with the word of God and wait for God to move. The only way to reverse the effects of worry and fear is to speak the word of God in faith and expectation. In the name of Jesus, I know it's going to turn around. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it's going to happen. And I know it's going to happen because I've seen Him work before. I've seen Him do it again and again and again, and He'll do it again. Don't you worry when there's no money. Don't you worry when there's no finances, because He's done it before and He'll do it again. But you've got to believe. You've got to believe in expectation. You've got to trust in expectation. You've got to stand in expectation. And you've got to speak it like you believe it. And if you believe it, and He said it, that settles it. Stand to your feet with me tonight. The only way to reverse the effects of worry and fear is to speak the word of God. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. My God is able. By the word able, you know, when Joshua and Caleb went to spy the land out with the 10 other spies, and they came back and the other spies gave a bad report, the last words out of that said Joshua and Caleb was, "We are able." That word is the word able is the word Yakol, Y-A-K-O-L. I try to learn a word every day. I try to learn a Hebrew or a Greek word every single day of my life, 7 days a week. You know why I do that? It's because I want to know when it comes time when I need to quote something. I don't want to quote somebody else's quote. I want to quote God's word, because if I speak God's word over it, then I know God's in it. And we are well able. God is able. I don't know about my marriage. God is able. God can keep Sister Barbara and I together for 41 years. He can keep you together. I don't care what you've been through. When there's forgiveness, when there's unity, when there's trust, man, there ain't nothing can stop you guys. You just got to trust God. You got to speak the word of God. If you can do that, I'll guarantee you this. You will see the hand of God move in your life. I want you to bow your heads with me. I want you to close your eyes for just a minute. And I want you to stand right now in faith. As that tree that maybe all the leaves are off your tree. Maybe the fire has been hot. And you're like, man, a situation, a circumstance where you don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to develop your expectation. You need to stand in faith from this point on. For your kids, for your family. If you're out of a job, you know what? God can give you the best job. A job that you don't even qualify for. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He can put you in a place where you never thought you could be. But you got to develop your faith. You have to develop your expectation. You have to literally stand in expectation tonight. Everybody in this room has a different circumstance going on in their lives. Not one of us is the same. You might be with somebody and it might seem like it's the same, but they still have a different perspective and a whole different circumstance within that circumstance, and you do, because we're all different. But the one thing that we have in common is that if we'll develop our expectation, if we'll develop that underdeveloped faith, and we'll begin to stop worrying and fearing and start believing and trusting and quoting and speaking the word of God, then God's going to do what He said He's going to do. The altar call I want to call tonight is for those of you tonight that, you know, you have faith, but it's a little underdeveloped. You want to develop your faith. Those of you that you have some expectation, or you may not have no expectation in your life. You're not expecting nothing. You're just trying to go from day to day. And God is saying, if you want to develop your expectation, then come to this altar. As they begin to sing this song, I want to open up this altar for you to come. And I want to ask you to come and ask God, you know what, Lord? I want to develop my expectation. I want to start standing on the promises of God. I want to begin to believe where I don't feel no belief. The things that look impossible, I want to begin to start looking at the possibilities. I want my perspective to change. I'm tired of looking at things the way I used to look at them. I'm ready to change the way I look at stuff. I'm ready to begin to trust God's word instead of man's word. I'm ready to let my faith go to another level, and I know that's going to take some stretching. I know that's going to take a little bit of toughness, but I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. I'm excited about it. Oh, yes. Your life.
Open my eyes. Open
sometimes
my eyes.
God will allow you to go through something. He'll allow you to lose something just to help you develop your expectation and your faith. Don't despise that season. Don't despise that season, brother. Sister, don't despise that season. Oh! Open my eyes to see.
Open my
ears to hear. Open my mouth to speak. To sing. To trust. One more time. I lift my head to believe again. You are. My refuge, Lord. Where else can I go? I pour it out, oh God,
to remember you are faithful, God, forever.
You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. You've heard the word tonight. You've heard the word of God. All you have to do now is speak it. All you have to do is walk in it. And just believe it. They're not my words. They're His words. Under the unction of the Holy Ghost, the power of God's Word, if you'll walk in that on a daily basis, you'll begin to see differently. Your perspective begins to change. The way things have always been will begin to change. You begin to trust more. You begin to believe more. You begin to understand that God's got it under control, but He allows us to lose our leaves sometimes, only to stand strong through that season so that we can be ready for the fruit to come on the tree in that spring season. Don't you despise this season. Don't think because you're in the home or because you're just going through all these trials, maybe you came to church for the first couple of times, now you're going through it. Don't you think those things are tailor-made situations so that you can bust out, man. You can bust out of that with faith. You can walk into a new season, step right into your new season with some faith under your belt, with some experience of faith, with some expectation, so that when you walk into the next season, you walk in saying, you know what? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my God can. I know my God will, because I've seen Him do it and do it again and again and again. He's my healer. He's your healer. He's able when I'm not able. He can when nobody else can. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift those hands. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, for all those here today that said, today I make a decision to make today. I have come to terms with it, that I am going to develop my expectation. I'm going to hear God's word. I'm going to seek Him through His word, and I'm going to speak His word over every situation from this point on. For the rest of my life, I'm going to live like that. I'm going to stand like that. And when my cold season comes, I'm going to stand like that tree and hold my mug. I'm going to hold myself to it. I'm going to trust the promise. And when it comes down to it, I know I'm expecting that when that season's over, that I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to, because of my faith, because I stand in faith, because I believe the promises, because I believe the testimony. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to stand. Come on, begin to thank God for your faith right now. Begin to declare it and say, I declare a brand new perspective on faith. I'm not going to worry no more. I'm putting worry behind me. I'm going to put faith in front of me. No more worry, no more fear. I'm just going to trust you, God. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to declare it in the name of Jesus.